Good morning and welcome into Locked On Patriots for Tuesday, June 10th, 2018. Mark Schofield back in the big chair, everybody. That's right, I am back off of a week-long vacation. I'll get to that in a minute. Reminder, follow me on Twitter at Mark Schofield. You can check out the work over at InsideThePylon.com as well as some other places. One of those places to check me out now is over with Matt Waldman. Some of you know Matt Waldman. He's been on this show before. Matt decided to offer a spot to me over at his rookie scouting portfolio. I'm going to be doing some writing for Matt in the season ahead. And if you know Matt Waldman, you know me, you've heard us on shows together before. Matt and I have a lot of fun talking about quarterbacks usually, but sometimes going in a lot of different directions. So really excited to work with Matt. Really looking forward to doing some stuff with him. We're going to be doing at least one video per month. A lot of you I know have checked out Matt's RSP film room pieces. He's had me on to break down quarterbacks before. Patrick Mahomes, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz was the first show we did together, and we have a lot of fun with those. So we'll be trying to do one of those a month too, which is going to be a ton of fun. I'm also going to have some news on some other places where I'm going to be writing. Going to be doing some more work this fall, and more work is always good. Loaded show today. As I said, back from vacation, we're going to dive back into the two summer series that were ongoing when I left. We're going to look at the NFC South and some over-under win totals there. We're going to talk about the 2006 Patriots draft, and they drafted a lot of players that year, but I'm really going to sort of focus on a couple just because, look, you don't want to hear me drone on about 2006 draft picks. Maybe you do. Maybe that's why you're here. If that's your kind of thing, you can let me know at Mark Schofield on Twitter. Also, a reminder, today's show brought to you by our friends over at BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com. More about those guys in a bit. But first, our opening segment, My Vacation. That's right. We're going to do the podcast version of sitting you all down around the TV and showing you my photos on my iPhone from my trip. We're not really going to do that. I'm going to talk briefly about some of the fun things I did. If you are interested in that kind of stuff, however, you can always follow me on Instagram. I am at MASCHO3916. You can follow me on the IG, as the kids say. But family trip out to the Chicago area. It's kind of a trip that my family, we do every 4th of July week. My wife grew up in the Chicago area. We still have some friends in that area that travel to the Chicago area for the 4th. So we try to get out there every 4th of July. We do the Naperville Rib Fest. We do fireworks. This year we took the kids to the planetarium as well as the aquarium right down there in Chicago, right near Soldier Field, which is a ton of fun for me to just walk around Soldier Field for a minute. Couldn't get in, but I walked around it and it was pretty cool. Super fun trip. Like I said, you know, if you want to check out the photos on Instagram, you can. MASCHO3916. And we drive from the DC area out to Chicago. We did it just in the course of one day on the way out. We broke it up over 2 days on the way back to give the kids a little bit of a break. But I'm always reminded of when I was a kid. You know, my family, you know, my mom was a school teacher, and my dad and his, you know, job, you know, working as a, you know, enterprise global manager for a database company. He was able to, you know, take some time. So each summer we would hop in the car and drive down from the Boston area. One summer we went all the way out to Wyoming and back. Took like 3 weeks in a two-door Toyota Celica. And every once in a while, either when I'm dealing with some knee pain or I'm reminiscing about what might have been, I like to tease my parents that it was that trip sitting in the back of a two-door Toyota Celica driving cross-country basically that basically stunted my growth and ruined my knees and prevented me from going on to perhaps greater heights as a quarterback. Of course, that glosses over my own failings as a quarterback, but I digress. But it was a super fun trip. Great to sort of relax, unwind, although traveling with kids isn't really so much of a relaxing and unwinding, you know, experience, but it's still fun nonetheless. And it's good to, you know, show the kids parts of the country. So I love driving trips like that. What else is going on? Last night, Monday night, steamy sort of summer evening, wife and I went down to the Inner Harbor of Baltimore to take in a show. KT Tunstall, Better Than Ezra, and Bare Naked Ladies. And it was a ton of fun, you know, especially all three acts were great. Better Than Ezra, you know, Bare Naked Ladies, they were super fun. Guys are just clearly still doing it because they love it. don't take themselves too seriously. Bare Naked Ladies play this incredible medley of like covers of like current songs, you know, faded into some Beatles, faded into some Queen near the end of the show, which was tremendously fun. Just, you know, a really fun night. There's some stuff on the IG if you want to check that out as well. So super fun. But coming back to reality now, the reality that is, and I'm just going to touch on this for a moment before we get into the other stuff, the Scott Fish Bowl. And some of you follow me on Twitter, follow other people on Twitter who cover fantasy football, like fantasy football, you've probably seen your Twitter timelines dominated by hashtag SFB8, which is this 8th version of the Scott Fish Bowl, which is now a 720-person pro-am fantasy football tournament that is just an incredible experience to be a part of. It's super fun. It's super stressful. Those of you that have followed me for a while on Twitter and elsewhere know that I got out of being a lawyer because of dealing with anxiety and depression. Well, yesterday, Monday morning, was the first day of the Scott Fish Bowl, and I woke up anxious for the first time in a long time because it's that kind of stressful. You're up against some of the best in the world. Jeff Farrer, who I work with over at Inside the Pylon, he's drafting one spot ahead of Matthew Berry in his division. You know, that's the kind of people that are in this. And so it's a tough fantasy football league to begin with. The scoring system, you get, you know, it's 0.5 PPR, you know, half a point per reception. But there's also tight end bonuses. Tight ends are full point PPRs. For quarterbacks, there's minus 4 points for an interception, minus 6 points for a pick six. It's a flex league, so you can start two quarterbacks. You have to start three wide receivers. There's a number of different paths that you can go down. And people have been doing mock drafts, getting ready for it. And I was picking in the fifth spot in the first round, which I think was the toughest spot in all of this draft to pick at, because in almost every single mock, people were going running back. Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, Ezekiel Elliott, and a fourth name which escapes me right now, which I can look up to in a second. But people were basically going running back for the first four. Todd Gurley, Ezekiel Elliott, Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson. Those were the first four picks in order. And then at the fifth spot, you're faced with a decision. Do you go wide receiver, Antonio Brown? Do you go running back and bank on Alvin Kamara? And part of me wanted to go with Kamara because I got him in the 11th round in the Scott Fish Bowl last year, and after drafting Antonio Brown and Rob Gronkowski in the first two picks. And those guys rode me to a playoff berth, which I was incredibly proud of. But then Gronk went all WWE and got himself suspended for a game, and I found myself on the outside looking in. So I had this thought of going Kamara with that first pick, and then going quarterback, then going tight end, then going quarterback again. Because I waited on quarterbacks last year. I found myself stumbling, luckily, into Alex Smith, a decent Blake Bortles, and Ben Roethlisberger, which worked out fairly well. But I didn't want to ride that dragon one more time. So I wanted to address quarterback early. So I didn't know if I wanted to do Kamara or go in another direction. I eventually went with Aaron Rodgers with that first pick, which means now I'm sort of chasing things down from behind at some other positions. My next pick, I wanted to go tight end. I wanted Gronkowski because you get that tight end bonus. He came off the board two picks before me, so I went with Travis Kelce. Third pick, Jerick McKinnon. I'm banking on Kyle Shanahan's offense. I'm banking on McKinnon living up to the big contract that he sort of got with the 49ers. That's how it looks for me right now. I am up in a couple of picks, and as you can probably tell, it's time for me to chase down a wide receiver. I was hoping to go quarterback here because you get a running bonus for running quarterbacks. Guys like, you know, Cam Newton, Carson Wentz, I thought would be very attractive to me. This fourth round pick, maybe even Deshaun Watson, but those guys are all off the board. So I'm going to hold off on quarterback, hoping to look at wide receiver now. There are some intriguing wide receiver options available. Tyreek Hill, Allen Robinson, Adam Thielen, Juju Smith-Schuster, T.Y. Hilton. So I'll probably end up with one of those guys. Ugh. Scott Fish Bowl, it's super fun. If you can, check it out, hashtag SFB8 on the Twitter machine. Up next, we're going to talk NFC South. We're going to do some over-unders there. Then later, as I said, the 2006 Patriots draft. We're going to get into that. But first, as I said, this show brought to you by our friends over at BlueChew.com. And if you've been listening to the show, you know that I'm all about helping. I'm about helping my fellow man and woman. I'm about offensive coordinators helping out their quarterbacks. We talk about that a ton with Tom Brady. Now I want to help the guys out there perform where it perhaps matters most. With BlueChew.com, you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. They're made right here in the USA, and since BlueChew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners here at Locked On Patriots. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code Locked On. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code Locked On to try it free. BlueChew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. We thank them for sponsoring the podcast here at Locked On Patriots. And again, I'm all about helping you. This is a way I can help you, perhaps where it matters most. So check out BlueChew.com. Don't forget that promo code, Locked On. Up next, we're going to talk over-unders. Going to look at Atlanta. We're going to look at New Orleans, Tampa Bay, and the Carolina Panthers. That's ahead with me, Mark Schofield, and Locked On Patriots. Mark Schofield back with you now on this Tuesday edition of Locked On Patriots. Sorry I was off yesterday. I was coming back from the trip, doing a lot of other things, getting myself back right in the headspace. It's tough sometimes, even though what I do for a living now isn't necessarily work, it's tough sometimes to get back out of vacation mode and into work mode. So I'm easing my way back into it. Going to do Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday shows this week. Once we get back into training camp, we're going to dial things back up to 5 days a week. Summer is approaching its end as far as the football world goes, because in a couple of weeks here, we are back, basically, right back into the sprint until the Super Bowl, and then into the draft. Basically, look, not that I'm complaining, don't get me wrong, but you get like 4 weeks to kind of really have downtime, and then it's right back into it. But again, what I do, it isn't work. It's fun. Kind of like, I was reminded of this last night at that Bare Naked Ladies show. They were celebrating 30 years together. Guys better than Ezra, they're celebrating 30 years together. Almost 2 years ago, my wife and I went to a Def Leppard show. They were there with Tesla and Poison. Tesla and Def Leppard both celebrating 40 years together, and they're out there still doing it, still crushing it. And just when you have something that you get to do that you love, you know, you can still have fun doing it. That's the dream. And I'm kind of living that dream right now, thanks to all of you who can listen to the Locked On Patriots podcast. Let's roll through some NFC South over-unders. I want to start with Tampa Bay because I think that's the easiest one of this division. Over-under on Tampa Bay wins right now, 6.5. Hit, smash, pound that under button. Obviously, you've got the issues with Jameis Winston, right? No, he's, you know, the 3-game suspension, which I don't want to get into too much. It just seems like the NFL's priorities are often askew a bit when it comes to league discipline. This is a team that still has a ton of weapons. I love DeSean Jackson, Mike Evans, Adam Humphries, Chris Godwin. They added Justin Watson as well. That's a nice receiving group. Then you look at the tight ends. You know, O.J. Howard, Cameron Brate. Those are two of the better tight ends in the league, I'd say. This is a team that could be explosive on offense. Running back was a question mark. They bring in Ronald Jones, who I think fits nicely. They face some question marks in the defensive backfield. They added Carlton Davis in the second round. You know, I think that's an okay pick. But what it really comes down to is Tampa Bay has never really put it together, you know, in the past couple of seasons. And now they're facing, look, they're starting without Jameis Winston, which is going to be tough to begin with. You know, you're out for 3 games. You get a game against the Saints, a game against the Eagles, and a game against the Steelers. Those are going to be 3 tough games anyway. You know, now you're facing an 0-3 start. You know, because do people really have confidence in Ryan Fitzpatrick going into New Orleans in week 1 or beating the Super Bowl champions in week 2 or beating the Steelers in week 3, you know, in a primetime game? How many teams that start 0-3 finish well? Not many. You know, so I'm looking at that. I'm thinking, look, you got to go with the under on that. The other 3 teams, however, Carolina at 9, New Orleans at 9.5, Atlanta at 9. Those are all teams where I think you can go the over. You know, the biggest question mark is probably, I'd say, Carolina there. You know, you do wonder a little bit about offensive production. You know, it's sort of the flip side of that coin with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They added Torrey Smith. Sure, they drafted DJ Moore, I think was a great pick for them. They drafted Ian Thomas, tight end out of Indiana that a lot of people really liked. They got him in the fourth round sort of to learn from Greg Olsen. You know, they're looking at Christian McCaffrey and probably their, not every down back, but they're, you know, he's going to get the bulk of work at the running back spot. They add in C.J. Anderson from Denver, who I think is going to be their between tackles guy, but they can do some stuff with McCaffrey. Defensively, Panthers still have a great defense. So I think, look, that's a team that could, you know, they could easily get, you know, more than 9 wins. I'm hitting the over on them. You know, New Orleans, they're at 9.5. Obviously, they're without Ingram to start the season, but still, Breeze is playing at a high level. Whenever you get number 9 going, I think you've got a good shot to win some games. They made some nice additions defensively. We'll see how that Marcus Davenport pick works out, but I think 9.5 is reasonable for them to hit the over. And same thing for Atlanta. You know, I've talked a lot about Matt Ryan on this show and, you know, the way he's played recently and how people are believers in him. And I think he's going to sort of bounce back and have a bit of a better season than he did last year. Adding Calvin Ridley, I think, is a fantastic pick for them. You know, when you go 11 personnel and you've got 3 wide receivers on the field and Julio Jones, Mohamed Sanu, and Calvin Ridley, you know, good luck as a defense. You know, Ridley's a great runner, great route runner, excuse me. Probably didn't get showcased enough at Alabama due to some subpar quarterback play, but I think he's a great fit for this offense. Devonta Freeman might get back to form. The defense looks pretty solid. This is going to be another strong division, and it might be another division where you see 3 playoff teams. That's what we saw last year. And so Tampa Bay Buccaneers, smash that under button. For the other 3, I'd look at that over. Up next, the 2006 Patriots draft. They made a number of picks. I want to really focus on a couple because, again, you're probably sick of me already. But that's all ahead with me, Mark Schofield, and Locked On Patriots. Mark Schofield back with you now. I'm going to close out this show talking about the 2006 Patriots draft. Here's who they drafted. Ready? You ready for the rundown? Drum roll, please. 21st selection overall, Lawrence Maroney, running back, Minnesota. 36th pick overall, their pick in the second round, Chad Jackson, wide receiver, Florida. Start taking notes. Third round selection, 86th overall, David Thomas, tight end, Texas. They had 2 picks in the fourth round, Garrett Mills, a tight end from Tulsa, and Steven Gostkowski, a kicker from Memphis. Fifth round, Ryan O'Callaghan, offensive tackle from California. Sixth round, Jeremy Mincy, defensive end, Florida. Dan Stevenson and Kevin Smith, a guard from Notre Dame and a defensive tackle from Nebraska, respectively. They came off the board at 205 and 206, compensatory selections at the end of the sixth round. And finally, rounding it all out, Willie Andrews, safety, Baylor. Where do we begin? Well, let's begin with Lawrence Maroney, because Maroney perhaps has, more than anyone now, sort of started to overshadow, or at least perhaps foreshadow, or we hope not foreshadow, the Sony Michel pick. You know, running back in the first round. He becomes the Patriots starter. You know, when they move on from Corey Dillon, he split time with Dillon in the 2006 season, and he had a pretty solid rookie year. In week 4 of his rookie season, he ran for 125 and 2 touchdowns on 15 carries against the Bengals. That got him both the FedEx Ground NFL Player of the Week and the Diet Pepsi Rookie NFL Player of the Week honors. He was voted AFC Special Teams Player of the Week after a 74-yard kickoff return in week 7. He had a 77 kickoff return against the Vikings in week 8. Those were the 2 longest non-touchdown returns of the season, outside of a 91-yard kickoff return by Antonio Cromartie. He became the starting running back following the release of Dillon for the 2007 season, but he missed 3 games in 2007. He rushed for 835 yards in the undefeated 2007 regular season. He was a big factor for the Patriots in the playoffs. He had 244 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns in 2 games before playing in Super Bowl 42. But then his season ended with a shoulder injury in 2008, the following season. In 2009, he started 5 games, ran for 757 rushing yards and 9 touchdowns, averaging 3.9 yards per carry. That's the bulk of his Patriots career. Was it worth pick 21? Ask yourself this. If Sony Michel gives you that kind of return this year over his career, how satisfied are you going to be with that pick? Particularly if the quarterback position goes south. So that's Maroney. Chad Jackson. Let's talk about Chad Jackson for a second, because similar to some of the other players we've talked about, when people look at Chad Jackson and they want to make the case that Belichick as GM hasn't fully panned out, Jackson's another guy you can point to. On the first day of the 2006 NFL draft, the Patriots traded with the Green Bay Packers to move up 16 places from 52 to 36 to select Jackson, giving up a third-round pick, 75th overall, which we'll get to in a second. He missed the entire 2006 preseason with a hamstring injury. He caught two passes in week two, his first NFL game, one of which was a touchdown. Week four, he caught two passes for 9 yards. His performance was limited to a nagging hamstring injury. Week seven, he caught his fifth pass of the season, a 35-yarder from Tom Brady for a touchdown. He suffered a groin injury, missed back-to-back games in December. In the 2006 AFC Championship game against the Colts, he suffered a torn ACL and was put on the PUP list. He was activated from PUP on November 7, 2007, was active for only four of the Patriots' remaining games, finishing the season with one catch for 19 yards. He was active for their first playoff game against the Jaguars, but it was a healthy scratch for their next two games, the AFC Championship and Super Bowl 42. He was released by the Patriots in August of 2008. Chad Jackson, everybody. Now, Steven Gostkowski, obviously he's gone on to great things for the Patriots. He's been a solid kicker for them. But let's circle it back to Steven Gostkowski and look at a couple of things here, because let's look at it post-trade first. Remember, they come up from 52 to 36. Who comes off the board shortly thereafter? Well, Roman Harper, safety from Alabama, comes off the board at 43. Marcus McNeil from the San Diego Chargers at 50, an offensive tackle. If you want to look at wide receiver, who do the Packers take at 52, where the Patriots were? Greg Jennings, wide receiver out of Western Michigan. And what has Greg Jennings done in the National Football League, you might ask? Well, career receptions, 571. Receiving yards, 8,291. 64 receiving touchdowns. Two-time Pro Bowler and a Super Bowl champion. Should I continue? I mean, I can. Andre Whitworth, offensive tackle, at 55. Devin Hester, Maurice Jones-Drew. There were some really good players that were still available. And then the Patriots, you know, they made, you know, another pick. They went with a tight end, David Thomas, at pick 86, okay? And what did David Thomas do in the National Football League for us? Well, career stats, 102 receptions, 938 yards, 8 touchdowns. Again, he's another player that struggled with injuries. Had a foot injury, was put on the active, physically unable to perform list in the 2007 preseason. He had 6 receptions for 76 yards as a rookie, although 3 of those catches were for first downs. So, huzzah. But then when you look past him at 86, guys that were still on the board. Owen Daniels, tight end out of Wisconsin. He comes off the board with the first pick of the 4th round. So, it's great that they got some contribution from Lawrence Maroti. Gostkowski was obviously a good pick. But those two picks, Chad Jackson, David Thomas, especially the Jackson pick, especially with what was still on the board, especially the fact that they traded up for him. You know, and, you know, remember, they gave up 75 in the process. And after pick 75, these were some of the guys that were still on the board. You know, Jason Hatcher as well. Although that pick was made after the Patriots pick at 86. It's more the fact that they trade up, and at the spot where they were sitting, the Packers get Greg Jennings. Obviously, and I said this when we started this series, hindsight is 20/20. But man, what could have been? That will do it for today's show. Happy to be back in the big chair. I missed you guys. I did. I will be back tomorrow. We'll probably do some more over-unders. Might even do some quarterback talk, get into a prospect We'll look at the 2007 Patriots draft. Until then, keep it locked right here to me, Mark Schofield, and Locked On Patriots.